Tensions with Iran have seemed to ease slightly after that country's strike in response to the U.S. killing of General Qassem Soleimani last week. But there are still questions about why President Trump authorized the assassination and who has been advising him through this crisis. John Hudson is national security reporter for The Washington Post. Welcome.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
I want to start with the major player in the Trump administration, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He stood behind the decision to kill Soleimani, and today he announced with the Treasury Secretary new sanctions against Iran.
The reason that Secretary Treasury and I are here this morning is to continue this campaign, our strategic effort to get Iran to behave in a way that doesn't continue their 40-year-long effort to terrorize the world.
John, you and your colleagues report that Pompeo has long had a focus on Iran. He had been advocating for killing Soleimani for some time. Can you lay out his role in the last week?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has been fixated on Iran, really dating back to the time when he was a member of Congress. But, you know, in the last week, what we've seen is a number of things come into place that gave Pompeo an opportunity to really be the central actor in pushing for this really brazen attack on a member, a senior member of a foreign military, which really hasn't been done since World War II. So some of the key things that came into place, Secretary Pompeo has talked to Trump about killing Soleimani dating back months ago, according to a senior official I spoke to. For a long time, the Pentagon has been very opposed to this idea and very risk averse when it comes to rising tensions with the U.S. and Iran. And that's mostly based to a broader goal that the Pentagon has of reallocating resources away from the Middle East and maybe towards East Asia and China, really trying to fulfill Trump's desire of getting out of the Middle East.
Let's talk about another person in the administration who also agrees with Pompeo. That's Defense Secretary Mark Esper. And both Esper and Pompeo happened to be in the same class at the U.S. Military Academy. How much has their relationship factored into the president's decision-making process?
So officials have told me that those two men, Pompeo and Esper, were in lockstep. And having known each other for their entire adult lives, they have had some fights since Esper has led the Pentagon, but they do really understand each other. And so they went into this meeting, this important Mar-a-Lago meeting where the options were presented to President Trump, and they were really on the same page. We're told that Pompeo was definitely more enthusiastic in urging the president to take this step. But Esper was also comfortable with that option of killing Soleimani. Otherwise, he wouldn't have provided that option to the president, we're told by his aides.
There's been lots of turnover in this administration. Secretary Esper became defense secretary this summer. The last confirmed secretary was Jim Mattis. Some have speculated that this Soleimani attack would not have happened under Mattis. What kind of defense secretary has Esper been?
Esper, in many ways, has allowed the president to embrace his instincts on a range of policies. The only area where we've really seen Esper push back is when it comes to the military justice system, where he's tried to protect his ability to control the Pentagon and preserve the military justice system. But in terms of the president's policies, and especially when it comes to very aggressive policies against Iran, as we've seen in the last few days, he has been very open to the president's moves. And I'm told by aides that that has been really critical in this new, more aggressive phase getting approved in the current environment.
I also want to talk about National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien. He also has a big role in this crisis. O'Brien spoke with NPR Steve Inskeep about the justification of Soleimani's killing. Let's listen.
We had very good intelligence that there was an imminent attack
being
planned. It was imminent. You never know the time and place of these things with perfect particularity. But we had very good information that there were imminent attacks planned against Americans.
Robert O'Brien replaced a very hawkish John Bolton as National Security Advisor. Who is Robert O'Brien, and what kind of advisor has he been?
Well, Robert O'Brien was previously serving as the top hostage negotiator for President Trump, and he was sort of famously involved in traveling to Europe for the Aesop Rocky case, which some people raised criticisms about because the American rapper is not necessarily viewed as a hostage. But anyway, you're exactly right that he does not bring the type of big personality that and really extreme sort of hawkishness that former National Security Advisor John Bolton brought. He's generally, like Esper, viewed as not a massively powerful figure within the cabinet. Neither of them have the power and influence and ability to really speak the language that President Trump speaks as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So while both of them are there, including National Security Robert O'Brien, Pompeo's desire to push these things through, and especially a hawkish policy on Iran, has been viewed as more critical and more influential in the last few days.
As I mentioned with Secretary Esper, there's been a lot of turnover at the White House. The administration is now on its fourth national security advisor, its fifth head of Homeland Security. There's talk that Secretary Pompeo may be on his way out. How do you think all of this change has impacted the decision-making process?
Well, it's a great question because you're right. There's always has been this lingering feeling that Secretary Pompeo might run for the Senate in Kansas, although his aides had a very important meeting with Senator Mitch McConnell earlier this week where they ruled that out. There's still obviously a lot of time that Pompeo could get into this race, but that's always going to be sort of lingering over the horizon. So we've had a lot of staff turn, and that's resulted in really different types of personalities coming in and making an impact on policy. Obviously, Trump is always at the center of it, but he's famous for asking all those around him to weigh in on a variety of national security decisions, regardless of whether they have a long history in national security or a fairly shallow resume.
Tensions we've been reporting have subsided somewhat after what some are calling Iran's largely symbolic attack on U.S. bases in Iraq. But it still feels like a volatile situation, especially now that Iraqi's prime minister is asking the U.S. to withdraw forces. Based on your knowledge of this team that we currently have right now, where do you think their priorities lie? I mean, does that tell us anything about the U.S.'s next steps in advising the president?
Well, in terms of priorities, you just saw in the last few minutes a statement from the U.S. State Department pushing back on Iraq's pretty direct request for the United States to leave Iraq. State Department is now saying that they are not interested in entertaining any conversations about a U.S. withdrawal from Iraq. And so moving forward, we've seen a position that the Trump administration has embraced, which is not about to leave Iraq anytime soon, even though the strike against Soleimani has raised – really inflamed the situation in Iraq and infuriated Iraqi leaders. Now, that was a bit surprising because, as we all know, President Trump came into office pledging to withdraw the United States from the Middle East. Now he's actually threatening countries with sanctions who don't allow the U.S. to stay in the Middle East. So it's been quite a twist and turn, and no one can quite say where this goes. I think another important point to remember is you're correct that the tensions have started to lower and reduce following the strike and the lack of casualties at the U.S. bases that were hit. However, the Iranians have a long memory, and there is no guarantee that they will view launching a few ballistic missiles at U.S. bases with no casualties as significantly reciprocal to the killing of a very senior, very beloved commander that they had that was killed outside of the Baghdad airport. It's very possible that Iran uses its asymmetric capabilities and really meets out its own revenge on its own timescale. So I don't think anyone should be too safe and secure in thinking that we've sort of seen our way out of the woods yet.
John Hudson, national security reporter for The Washington Post, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.